Jesus, the Father of creation, we come to give Him glory, for He's the author of salvation, for He alone is worthy to receive our adoration. Yes, we're here, yes, just to worship the Lord. Oh, yes, we're here to worship Jesus, the Father of creation. We come to give Him glory, for He's the author of salvation. Yes, for He alone is worthy to receive our adoration.
Oh, yes,
we're here just to worship the Lord. Oh, yes, we're here to worship Jesus.
Yes,
the Father. For He's the author of salvation. For He alone is worthy to receive our adoration. We're here just to worship the Lord. We're here to worship Jesus,
yes,
the Father of We come to give Him glory, for He's the author of salvation. For He alone is worthy to receive our adoration.
Yes,
we're here just to worship the Lord. Father of creation, we come to give Him glory, for He's the author of salvation. For He alone is worthy,
yes,
to receive our adoration.
Oh,
we're here just to worship the Lord.
Try to sing it instead of the third person, but directly to him. Something like this. Oh, we're here to worship Jesus. Oh, you're the author of salvation. We've come
to give you glory, for you're the author of salvation. For you alone.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Just find it an honor and privilege to be able to come to church and feel this good spirit. We had such a great weekend that we this last weekend, and had a wonderful time, and needs got met. Answers to prayer. Answered my prayer. I've been praying. I was praying about that job. And so finally I called. I remember I told you a recruiter called me. I called the national manager and he said, "That recruiter must be a mistake. We're still not hiring anybody for Little Rock." That answered my prayer. I knew. I've been praying, "Lord, I need to know about that job. Did I miss you or what happened?" And so sometimes I find it just a thankfulness in my heart that God will answer my prayers and show me, reveal His will. And you have to seek Him for Him to reveal His will. And that's just one of the prayers I know that was answered. Just to be able to get the feeling that we felt and the encouragement that we felt. I just wanted to, and I feel it here tonight. Feel it spilling over. I know we've got a lot of people gone. You're kind of getting used to when Brother Smith goes on these lengthy road trips and he comes in a day before service, and he is not. He doesn't recover very fast. So he's recovering. I called him today. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Nothing." I said, "Yeah," he says, I'm completely exhausted. I'm laying in bed and I'm just trying to recruit. He said, "I had 8-hour Bible studies. I was in a meeting." He said, "I preached sometimes twice a day for a couple hours at a time." He said, "It just takes a lot out of me." And so, and travel, I know when I travel, when I get home, I'm usually pretty tired. And so he's trying to catch up. It usually takes him 2 or 3 days to recoup. And then the Stewarts are gone. He's doing a training for a business that he's starting. And then the Tallies are vacationing. And I think they told me they were going on the East Coast up to Maine. And I bet it's pretty this time of year. I kind of a little bit jealous. Of them getting to take a trip like that. Actually, I'm hope they have a glorious time. Good, faithful saints of God who put this church first in their lives and have for many, many years. And I'd love them to God to bless them as they're out enjoying His creation. Anyway, I was just to mention those that aren't here. And there may be some more. The elder sisters are not here tonight. I'm glad for all of you that are here. Yeah. And that you come on. I'm not going to take up prayer requests right now. I'll do it in a minute. But to come out tonight and you feel in the same spirit. Yeah. And seeing Sister Donna here tonight. Yeah. Keep coming. Just keep coming. You'll get what you need. You're gonna find this in this haven of rest. Jesus said, "Come all ye that are weary and heavy laden, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know. The burden that you carry in this world under a load of sin is a, and you have to carry it alone. No, not only does nobody help you, everybody piles on. There's a song the Begleys used to sing. I remember the verse, and I'm gonna Facebook her, Sister Begley, and ask her to send me the words because it's such a good song. I actually told Brett, I think it's a perfect Brett Weiniger song, because it kind of fits him, I think. But the chorus goes, If you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. I know the load, the road gets long and hard, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. But if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And the Begleys, you remember the Begleys used to sing that song? And it has several verses to it. But I was thinking about that. My burden is easy. I mean, my load is easy and my burden is light. But it's not only because the weight of sin is off of you, but when you come into the kingdom of heaven, you got brothers and sisters to help shoulder the load with you. Your burdens will be our burdens, and we'll help you get through it, along with the help of the Lord, along with His grace and His mercy. And He wants, that's what is so awesome, when you're born again and born into His family, and you come back home, if you don't leave, whatever your case may be, this is a family of God. This is a kingdom, yet it's a big kingdom of a big family, because we're all heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're all His children, and He loves His children. Now, Jesus used the example several times about how fathers would treat their children, and they had a love for their children. But God's love is so much greater than our love, it's kind of unimaginable. You set this whole thing in motion, set a plan, and for Jesus to come, live the example life, then, and set the pattern, become the propitiation of our sin, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. His love is so high, it's kind of hard for us to even really imagine. Like the song says, if the sky were parchment made, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God would drain the ocean dry and stretch sky to sky. It's hard to imagine that kind of love. It's kind of like trying to imagine it in infinite universe. An infinite, omnipresent God. And His kind of love. So we set this gospel out. Poor thing. I feel for her. He set this plan of gospel, and it's to save us, and it's to help us. That's the kind of God we have. He's not this mean guy that just wants us to give up all these things. He just wants us to give up the things that are killing us, that are hurting us, that are separating ourselves from him. God is love, John said. I want to move in closer to the love. I want to move in into the center of it. I don't want to be rejecting God and be pulling away from God. I had an awesome opportunity to go listen to a Christian couple do a marriage workshop, and Saturday was just for a few hours, and he gave some principles out that really everybody should know and do, but we don't. And he talked about a problem he had in his life. And in that problem, he said something that was very, very, very key. He said it was a symptom of a bigger problem, that his relationship wasn't right with Jesus. Relationship wasn't right with God. And his problem came about because finally he had somebody ask him, how much are you praying? How much are you reading the Word? And the name of the workshop was Flip This House, kind of after the theme of of these shows on TV about, you know, selling your home, getting ready to sell. And they just had some little principles that sound like they're a little when you hear them, but they're really big. And talked about you need to call in an inspector, inspect your life, you know. David said, "Search me, O God, know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me." Well, if you ask the Lord that, he's going to show you some things in your life that that need to be corrected, that's causing a separation from you and him that you may not even know about. You may not even know why you are having a problem in this area in your life. And then they said, and after you, the Lord deals with your heart, then you need to have your foundation checked. The foundation in your life should be the Word of God. Are you just coming to church and hearing the preacher preach? Are you going home and being like the Bereans, who are more noble than some of the other churches because they went home and studied to see if these things were that Paul was teaching them was true? Are you reading your Bible every day? That's the foundation. Your feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel. And they said, then you need to cover your life in prayer. And this is the hard one. This is a hard one for a lot of people. And me and my wife are working on it. And that is to start praying together as a couple. If you're married, pray as a couple. If you've got children, find a time in the day every day to pray with your children. Take turns praying out loud. Say a blessing. Ask for a blessing. Pray. Kneel down at the bed together before you go to bed and pray together. Before you go to work, say, honey, you know, you don't have to get in travail every time in a 30-minute snot bubble buster prayer. That's hard to get in the habit to do. Can you take 5 minutes to pray? Can you take a few minutes to pray? Pray together. Sure enough, Holy Ghost prayer may break out one night. It'll do something for your marriage. It'll do something for your family. It'll do something for your home if you'll pray together. And I thought, well, you know, these sound like little principles, but these are big principles. These are important principles. And me and my wife went home that night. And I think we missed that night. And then the next night we did it, and the next day we did it, and then the next night I beat her to bed. But we're going to work on it, as I really feel it's important. Because I've heard testimonies of couples who pray together and they've got strong marriages. So I wanted to share that with you tonight. Maybe, I know it like I say, it's a little principle. It's something that everybody can take home. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's like giving up candy. to put that discipline in your life. But I challenge you tonight to try it. Brother Al, you get home tonight. Before your old lady goes to bed. Now, I'm just joking now. That's a little inside joke around me and Sister Elsie. Nobody be mad at me. She's not. And no, you tell her, now, woman, let's get in here and pray. And just say the best prayer you can. And that's good enough. Because that's, you know, they had a great display. But Phil, can you put that up? Can you pull it up? I got to show you all this. This was a great display. Because if you say, well, I'm not good at praying out loud, you know, Brother Smith's so good at it, just look up YouTube Godco, you know what it is. And so they pulled up this little commercial parody, and y'all have all seen the real commercials. And you find it yet? We got a pretty fast internet here. It's pretty good. Da-da-da-da-da. I'll end with this. Then we'll take a prayer request. I'll tell you what, we'll take a prayer request while he's finding it. Sister Linda. Sister Wilkins is sick. Oh, they've got it. Sister, go ahead, Sister Oates. Kelsey. Okay. Brittany? Okay, yes, the Anderson family. They're going to need our prayers for months to come, for a long time. Sister? Brother Paul's working hard. He's been sick, Sister Donna. Okay. Jennifer, Sister Jennifer? Okay. Okay. Sister Elsie? Sister Elsie's family? Sister Watson?
Sister Stella requested prayer for her sister-in-law.
Okay. Wait a minute, let me get this straight. I'll give the first part of the prayer request. It was for Sister Rochelle's brother died, and we all knew that, but her sister-in-law's having a hard time. Now, who came and stayed with her?
Her sister-in-law's sister had come to stay with her.
Her sister-in-law's sister had came and stayed with Sister Rochelle's sister-in-law and her two-month-old baby. She went home, and the baby passed away. So that whole family needs our prayer. Sister?
Yes.
She did pass away. That Sister Ruth Weiniger passed away, the one who went into coma, came out, but she has passed away. So let's keep praying for the family. Sister Sarah. Let's pray for the, what's their names? Okay, pray for the Johnson family. Yeah, because I don't even remember her coming.
No, she came down anyway.
Okay.
But I told her that a lot of people didn't know her, and once I knew her, didn't see her. So she's going to come Sunday. So she needs prayer. She was trying to see. She said the Lord's dealing with her, and she just felt like somebody just slapped her face, and nobody acknowledged
she was born. So let's make an effort to reach out to them. When people visit, let's all make an effort to reach out. I know it's kind of get out of your comfort zone. There's some people it's easy for to go up and talk to somebody they don't know and make contact, but some people it's hard. They don't, you know, they just don't reach out to somebody they don't know. To get out of your comfort zone, Lord will bless you, and you can see it can touch somebody's life. Does Eshawn have a request, Eshawn? No? Okay. Let's go ahead and stand and pray. I'll show you the video here in a minute. Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight, Lord. We feel unworthy to be here calling you, but Lord, we have so many needs. We have so many that are out sick, Lord. Oh, we have so many. We got some that are tired and working, and in touch with Mother Smith's body, and that He can make her speedy recovery from his exhaustion. Lord, we got these needs of people that are got serious illnesses. Lord, we bring them before You. Reveal Your will to us, Lord. Let us know what your plan for their life is. Lord, we ask You to heal them and touch them. Lord, the ones that have passed away, this family that's lost this baby, Lord, we ask You to give them a special blessing and covering, and let them know You love them, oh God. The Weininger family, Lord, losing the matriarch of that family, oh God, that the children would be touched and comforted in this time of their loss, oh God. Oh God, on these every need that was brought up before here, couples that are having problems, Lord, families that are in distress, we bring them all before You, Lord, and we know You're mindful, but we ask You, Lord, and believe that You're going to intervene in these situations. Oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. As they're taking up the prayer, we'll do something a little different. I mean, the offering, we'll watch this little video. You got there, brother? No sound.
So to help him pray, we've hired that super pastor guy you see on TV.
God, please help my marriage. We're just really struggling right now.
Oh, Heavenly Father, He who has created all things, makes the sun and moon rise at His command. I beseech You, take this woman that You've given to me as a helpmate and bring her to her senses that we might abide together forever in a purpose-driven marriage.
God, I'm really frustrated at work. Help me find a new job.
I ask You now, in this area of employment, Thee who gives me the sustenance in an employer fashion, please guide me to something, if it be Your will, that would bring You glory.
My kids are driving me crazy. I don't know what to do. You just help me out.
You have blessed me also with many young saplings, and I ask at this day that You would help me and my helpmate to raise them in the way of Your word.
Amen, God.
And now I end this time with You, Lord, bowing before You, giving You all that You deserve in sacrifice and in sacrament. Let it be known that the Alpha Omega is pleased. Amen.
God go. Real people, real prayers.
No, it's kind of a silly illustration, but it just goes to show you can really just talk to God. Just like the guy was sitting there talking at the table, you can just talk to Him like that. He'll hear your prayers. You don't have to come up with some super duper deal like the guy on the right was, but you can just talk to Him. You never can tell. You may get into that area where the Holy Ghost takes over. They didn't show that part. Where the Holy Ghost takes over and you begin to talk and let the Holy Ghost intercede in your behalf. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to share that with you all tonight and appreciate everyone being here.
The doctor that I had there had put me on this medication and told me I'd be on it for the rest of my life. And then, of course, when I moved to Springfield, Missouri, then the same situation. I went to another doctor hoping to get a different answer. And the answer was the exact same, that I would be on this medicine the rest of my life. Well, long story short, I started to read this book on weight loss and everything. And this doctor that I'm following, he said it was very possible. And you can actually call in to the clinic and talk to them, everything. They said it was very possible for me to get off this medicine. Well, I was really praying about this doctor that I found here, and that I would know it, she would be the right doctor, you know, if I could get off this medicine. Well, anyway, I went to the doctor Friday, and she said she was highly impressed with everything that I've been doing, exercises and everything anyway. And she told me I could get off my heart medication. And I am just so thankful, because I've just prayed from the beginning about this, and I'm just so thankful. But one of the things that Tommy and I have been talking about, and the Lord has really been dealing with me, is on the exact same thing that Brother Michael was talking about. The Lord was dealing with me. If I can change this much in my eating habits and exercise and doing all this, I need to put forth at least that much effort in reading and prayer and changing my lifestyle more. Then Tommy and I are not, you know, doing anything that I feel like is anything bad, but there's little habits in our life that we want to change, like instead of just of an evening, you know, popping down in front of the TV, you know, change our ways and do more Bible reading and more things that we want to change and dedicate our life. And we're asking the Lord to help us. You know, I'm not speaking for him, but me, I'm trying to get down on my knees more and pray more and talk to the Lord more. And I just appreciate the Lord and all that he's done in my life, and I just owe him a praise.
Bless the Lord. Bless the
Well, I'm just as happy as you are to be here tonight. Appreciate what I feel. Feels like church here. A little leftover from Sunday night. Wasn't it good? And I really enjoyed Sunday night service. God has many ways in which he can speak to us. And I thought he was speaking to us, or maybe someone else. But hopefully all of us, as our brother sang that song, look what he's done to get us here. Did you go home, Sister Donna, singing that song? Me too. God did a lot to get me here. And he's done a lot to keep me here too, you know that? It hadn't all been me. So I appreciate the place that he's brought me to. Brother Michael mentioning prayer. Now, I didn't get up because I've got the service tonight and I've got the key. I just want to make a few comments about prayer. It works. It works. And we just have to let our Heavenly Father know, I need help. When I first came to this people, you know, my paper was blank. I didn't know anything about church, praying, fasting, anything. But I had to start somewhere. And God had already spoke to me and said, I brought you to a sincere people. You were sincere about serving God, sincere in your dedication. And I saw a sincerity in your worship. It caused me to say, Lord, I want what they got. I got some. I got some. And then we have a band number. Is it a chorus? I'm taking a break right now. Somebody prayed for me. And the power of prayer, I'm here tonight. Someone prayed for me. I didn't just walk in here, Sister Gayla. I didn't just stumble on these people and say, yeah, I think I'll stay. Give me a ticket. Let me ride on this train with you. But I was led here by God's wonderful, loving hand. Now, back to pray. I developed a praying life also when my wife was living, and we did those things, Brother Michael. We prayed together, taught my children to pray out loud publicly, started Steve and Jacob to praying at the dinner table where they wouldn't be embarrassed when we got somewhere, let them pray in restaurants when we were together. But God has been good to me. But here's what affected me. I was hungry for the wonderful things of God. And every minister come by in the old church over there, I gleaned some wonderful things from them. But quite often, some of you probably remember, elderly gentleman, Brother Whitlow, that's who I let get into my heart with his words of prayer and fasting. Just his words used to just ring in my heart. And spiritually, I could just taste it. That's what I want. I don't know how many times I've heard him say how that as a young man, begin to seek God in prayer and fasting, he'd come home and his wife Annie would have his supper ready. He said, I can't eat, Annie. I've got to be with my lover. Man, I thought, you turn down your groceries to pray? And several months went on, Brother Whitlow was gone, and I'd just been thinking about it. Maybe 6 months went by, and the Lord began to deal with me gently. And it happened at work. I'd already planned me a meal, you know that? I had my meal already planned at work. I'm on my way home. I already called home, told Sylvia, take me out some chicken legs, put on the grill, fix me a head of cabbage. That evening I came home, she said, where you going, Billy boy? I said, I got some work to do. And I went in our bedroom, and do you know, it was only a few moments till I was reaching up, touching heaven. It works to get along with our Savior. And I've kept that in my heart, to live close with the Lord. Brother Whitlow said, if you want God throughout the day, catch him early in the morning before the crowd gets up. Yeah, that's a pleasant time. It's nice and cool now. I get up in the morning, made an altar on the tailgate of my truck. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping me through the night. Brother Ray Valdez wants the Holy Ghost and needs a healing in his life. We've got a lot to be prayerful about, you know that? And I'm going to leave you with this scripture, 2 Chronicles, that if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Don't we call ourselves children of God?
Yes.
I want to be found doing that.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to get up and say I'm very thankful to be here tonight. I tell you what, I don't know for everyone else, but this has been a fantastic service for me. I came in here and I told Jennifer on the way here, because she kept asking me, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And the only thing I could come to mind was, you know, well, maybe I'm like Saul. God sent an evil spirit on me or something, because I'm just in a foul mood. And that's just the way I felt. I just, you know, I told her, I don't know what it is. It's anxiety. I don't know what's bothering me. I can't figure it out. It's just getting to me. But the more you think about it, the more we hear different things. It's this world we're living in. It gets all over us. It gets that filth on us. You may not be doing anything that you see as sin. You may not be committing some heinous act. But just living in this world, day to day, it rubs off on you. Rubbing elbows with the devil all day long. Sometimes it's my own spirit. Sometimes there's plenty around me. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I have somewhere to come to. That I can get that washed off. That I can get that dirt, that muck and mire off of my life when I come in here. I came in tonight and I was thinking, you know, it's so easy. Up there especially. You know, here it's hard. It's real hard not to, okay, I'm sitting right there and everyone's looking my way. You know, up there, I'm Hispanic in nature, all right? That's my genetics. That's who I am. And so I will knock my seat to the very lowest and I low ride up there. And I can be right behind that monitor and you guys don't see me and I'm coasting. You know, I can throw up the scriptures up there and I'm good to go. And so it'd be very easy to do that tonight. Very easy. But let me tell you, God started working on my heart and saying, no, no, because you know what? This is not a spectator sport that we have here. This is a participator right here. Yeah, this is somewhere we can come and worship God together. Yeah, somewhere we can get closer to Him. There's a reason I'm here tonight, Sister Rachel. There's a reason I'm here. There's a reason I want to be here, Brother Andrew. It's to get closer to God in my life. Yeah. It's to get Him in my heart. Woo. It's to put those principles that we learned about the other day. Let me tell you, I don't want to have a good marriage. I want to have a marriage blessed of God. I want to have God in my family. I want to have God in my home. I want to have God coming in. When I come into my house, it's no different than coming into church, other than that there are just more of God's people together in this building. I kept waiting. You know, I'm not a young pup anymore, but it's one of those things where I was feeling like, you know, I felt like a kid again. My palms started getting sweaty. My legs started shaking a little bit. I'm like, what's this about, Lord? You know, I'm not studied up right now or anything. You mean just get up there and burn a little bit? Is that what I need to do? But I couldn't shake it. And I kept putting that off. You know, I wanted to get up. I was about to jump up before Brother Smith even got up to open the service. I was like, no, brother, he's got to open the service. And then you wait a little bit more. Well, maybe this won't fit what I'm feeling. Oh, and then someone else gets up. Oh, well, you know what? It wouldn't go away. And thank God it wouldn't go away. Because I want to get up and no matter, just lift my hands. And what was on my heart, what was going through the songs. Let me tell you, I really felt strong channel in those songs talking about worship and adoration. And my wife, I love it that so much. She, her favorite book is the Thesaurus. All right, let me tell you, she can figure out ways, you know, I love it too. I love the dictionary. Okay, I'm geeky. That's fine. I know that. But worship is what I looked up. Worship, I saw on dictionary.com, was adoring reverence. But then I broke that down. Adoring, to pay divine honor to. Reverence, a feeling of deep respect tinged with awe. So I put that all together. To worship, to pay divine honor to God with a feeling of deep respect tinged with honor. When we were singing those songs, I was thinking about that as far as in my heart. I was thinking, you know, I can come in here and I can just sit back and I can hide up there. And then tomorrow I go to work the same way. Maybe that spirit doesn't leave me. Maybe I get in a worse negative attitude than I even was in before I came to church. But you know what? We have a living God that's able to deliver even the worst, rankest spirit that might come on me or whatever is coming my way. When you mentioned about my uncle, about how he's seeking the Holy Ghost and how he has a need in his life. You know, God's been dealing with me about this for a while. And I know everyone. I know, you know, we've been here all our life and we've read through the Bible. We've heard these things. But I want to just rehearse this right now because we're supposed to go back to these things. And bring them back up. And I was looking at, God's been touching me about this in 2 Chronicles 20. I'm just going to go over it real quick. I'm going to try to just pick on the key points. But we're familiar with Jehoshaphat and Moab and Ammon and others were come and they were besieging Israel. And or Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat and them, they were scared. It says here, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee. You ever felt like a great multitude was coming against you? You ever felt like nothing in your day would go right? That everything, you get up, and it seems like from the moment you get out of bed, you know, oh, my hip, oh, it caught. Or, you know, oh, my neck, my shoulder, something, you know, physical. Or me in the morning, I get up and thinking, oh, wow, I've got this appointment, that one, and all these people think I am the devil incarnate. And I have to go make them happy. Yay. Okay, and that's how my day starts. It's multitude against me from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be from another country. I can't read the way that it has it there. Which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. This is what was coming to my mind when Brother Daniels was mentioning about prayer, about we have great needs in our life. We know of great needs in this assembly right here. Things that I physically can't do anything in relation to my uncle. I can't give him the Holy Ghost. I can't take what's in him away from him. I can't do something like that. Each and every one of us has great needs. I don't even feel adequate enough as a father. I have things in my heart that I think, God, am I failing? Am I failing my children? Am I failing my wife? Am I failing you, God? Am I not being the man you called me to be? When I came here, when I came back to church, I was broke. Mentally, physically, monetarily. I came destitute. And God lifted me up. He said, son, I've got something better for you. Let me show you the right way to walk. Let me put you on the right path. The path that you walked up of. Let me get you back on that path. And let me tell you, God has blessed me. Now I can be like the children of Israel, and I have been. Oh, those blessings. Man, I want more now, God. Hey, you know what? I want this. I want that. I start getting so engrossed in the wants and not about, God, I just want to serve. I want to worship you. I want to praise you with all my heart. I want to understand, God, that my life will change if I worship you on a day-to-day basis. There's another thing that they showed at that seminar we went to. And let me tell you, truth hurts. It stings. And this one, someone might as well have went, are you listening now? When they put that video on of the family, when they get in the car, there was a nice Christian family who they got in their car getting ready to go where? To church. Ooh, Sunday morning. All right. Hallelujah. And they got in that car. The children were back there. And as soon as the children were back there, what happens? Boom, World War III happens. You know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then the dad gets in. Why don't you be quiet? You know, and he starts ragging. And oh, blah, blah, blah. And then honk, honk. Where's your mother? Where's your mother? You know, finally she gets out there. And they're all, and they are going at it a mile a minute. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe for them, because it didn't seem like that, church was only 5 minutes away. Well, you know what? We live 35 minutes away. Y'all take that one. Think about that one. Yeah, amen, my brother. You feel that too, don't you? And they got in that vehicle, and they were at each other's throat. Then they pulled into church, and it was a bit of silence, as they all grabbed their church mask. Oh. And they put it on. And they, as they got out of the vehicle, it was like, well, let me see. How are you doing, brother? Good to see you. They become car dealership guys. And the wife was Mrs., you know, Betty Crocker. Oh, it's so good to see you guys. And they hugged everybody. And the children were loving one another as they went to their friends. And they went in the church, and it looked like a happy ending. And they went inside. And then, you know, meanwhile, 1 hour later, they all walk out, and they're all, you know, the tears in their, oh, it's so good. We just had a great service. And they're going back, and they're all happy, and they're, bye, bye. And they get in their vehicle, and they take their mask off, and it goes back at it again. Now, I don't know, maybe none of you can relate to that. But I would be lying behind the pulpit if I said, I haven't experienced that. And my wife has experienced that. And our children. Meanwhile, back in the Bible. And Jehoshaphat, he said, Judah gathered themselves together. I'm sorry, go back to verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. There you go on that fast, Brother Daniels. But let me tell you, fasting, it's not about, I feel this more and I know this more in my heart than ever. It's not about a work. It's not about a check-off list. But it's about a sincere relationship with God. It's about when I fast, it's not because I can say, oh, I'm fasting. It's because I want to get my lover's attention. I want to say, God, I need you right now. I've got to have you in my heart. You know what? There might not even be a valley right now that I'm going through. But Lord, I want you to know you got my attention. You've got my every thought. My every focus is on you, Lord. I need you. I need you, God, more when I'm on the mountaintop than I do in the valley. Because right now, Lord, I need you to keep my focus. I don't want to get my eyes off you when things are going great, when there's happiness, when the sky is blue and the sun is out shining. God, I need you now more. I want you ever on my thoughts. And God, he says right here, it's proclaimed a fast out of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together. All the people got together. And don't we have a wonderful house of Israel here? Don't we have a wonderful place we can congregate together with our brothers and sisters and call on the name of God in unity, asking for our needs to be met? He said, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord and before the new court and said, and here's Jehoshaphat as the king of Israel, the king of Judah, or in my place, as the father of my home. And he stands up and he starts as an outward prayer to God. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Let me ask, is this the same God we serve? The God that he's praying to here? The God that what he's doing, he's not really asking God. That's a rhetorical prayer for the people that he's praying for. Remember, saints, that's what he's saying. Remember, children, this is our God. Our God created the universe. You trying to tell me he can't take care of Moab and Ammon? You trying to tell me he can't take care of us today? Let's remember what God has done for us. Let's remember those things. And he says, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and the might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Isn't this the same God that called us, Sister Inez? That called me out of the muck and the mire and the clay? That set my feet on a rock? Isn't this the same God today? Is he any different? Is he any less powerful today? Did he change in the last 10 years of my life? No, God has not changed one bit. He is the same God he has ever been. He's got the same power. He's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy of all adoration and praise. Blessed be his name. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants? Verse 8. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name. This is my sanctuary today. This is the sanctuary of God. God now indwells in us. We don't have to go to a temple. The Holy Ghost, you have that opportunity. It's within you, the very Spirit of God. That's that temple today. That's that sanctuary. God, I have this sanctuary, but I need to make sure it's holy before you. I need to sanctify it before him and say, God, let me clear out all those things. Have I brought idols into the temple of God? Have I put things in my life that keep you from blessing me, God? Forbid it. Change my heart. Oh, God, purify me, Lord. I want to go with you, God. Don't let me stand in the way of what you're doing in my life. Oh, God. And when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is this house, and cry out unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Say that with me. Then thou wilt hear and help. But I've got to pray out to him. I've got to seek him with my heart. I've got to give all. I've got to be fervent. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I've got to be diligent. I've got to seek him. Once again, it's not about the work. It's not about I prayed three times today. But it's because, oh God, I need to pray. I need to pray without ceasing in my life. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab. Now what's he doing? He's bringing it to God. He's bringing his mountain to God right now and saying, God, I can't surpass this mountain. I have got to have you intervene. Without you, God, I am gone. We are done as a people. Everything you've done, Lord, is not, if you can't save me from this. He knows God can save him. It's just a reminder to all the people. And Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from thee and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come and to cast us out of thy possession. You know, some of this right here, I can relate it to this so many times. You know what? To me, that speaks to my heart in what I just said in relation to God's blessings. You know, he spared those people. They ended up being a snare to Israel later on. But it's the same thing in my heart as far as God doesn't make me go into a padded room with nothing to tempt me. God says, I have enough confidence that I can work in your life with the Holy Ghost that there's some things you're not going to mess with. You're not even going to worry about anymore. It's up to me, though, to not let those things get back in my life, to not let them dissuade me, to not let them pull me away from the path that God has put me on. To me, that's what this is, because he didn't destroy those people. A lot of things I need to overcome in myself. I need to overcome those things that get in my way. And going on down, it says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? Coming down to the